there a second? Trustee Dart?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Here, reconvene.
Okay. So if there's no more questions on the accounting and audit, we move on to the assessor. The way that works and the way it's been budgeted is we currently have a contract with independent, or no, warrant assessor and inspection. So why is it? Oh, because we did the recodification. Or not the recodification, the reassessment. Mm-hmm. That's why it's down so much. Okay.
Which one are you talking about?
Assessor. Why it went so much down so much from 2013, 14, and then 15, we had the reassessment. That's just our contract with
Mike Dina.
Is that every 5 years we do this?
The reassessment?
Yeah. Or is it scheduled?
I don't know if it's scheduled. I know you have to be within 90% of your equalized value during the normal year.
I don't think it was 5 years.
Is it? Okay. I'll have to look.
I don't think it was. Well, I don't know if it's going to take them that long to get through the...
Within 90% of assessed values?
Of equalized.
Yeah.
For equalized value.
Yeah.
It's 90 to 110, right? It's within 10% of...
Yeah. Insurance. We had a question on that, what that is. Those are our policies with local government property insurance, which is insurance we get through the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Willis, so that's our buildings, property contents in the open. They have a list that we update each year for them. Workers' comp. All that stuff is in there. So.
What is also workers' comp? Okay.
Yeah. Everything's in there because, and we do break it out in the detail if you wanted to see into different accounts, and then it also gets allocated to the different departments from there. Like, based on the vehicle list, we allocate like the police vehicles to police, the public works to public works. So those are our policies with them. It's a partial estimate because the policies run. One runs October 1st mm-hmm. to September 30th, and the other one runs April 1st to March 30th. So we always kind of guess we'll do a 5% increase. And some things never increase. So that's that one, and you'll see insurance and all the other departments too as line items. Because, like I said, we do allocate it based on department. So public safety. I think Brad filled that one in.
Mm-hmm.
So I can turn it over to him and eat.
Excuse me one moment. The police contract, of course, that's with Brown County. That's our 24-hour and also Rick, the DEO officer. We are on our last, we're entering our last year in our contract, so 2015 we'll be spending a lot of time probably looking at the negotiations, either keeping Brown County or whatever the board's direction may be. The increase was actually set as a 2%, but 3? Thank you. You're right, it was 3. I have it in here even. But with the purchasing of the SWAT cars, that's not showing up in here this year, so that's why it's actually showing a decrease so for 2015.
And is that increase a contracted increase?
Correct.
It is.
Yep. I believe we had a 3-year contract with them, with a 4th-year extension, and with everything that was going on, it was just, take advantage of that 4th-year rollover.
So we're in the fourth, going into the
we're going year. Into, yep, for the final year.
But we'd have to make a decision, isn't there a 6-month?
Mm-hmm.
So for June?
Notification of non-renewal, yeah. But we need to seriously consider other options.
going on a ride along with him. I don't think we have a need for police. It's pretty boring. Where's Mayberry?
I thought we weren't allowed to do that.
If we're okay.
No,
just kidding. One bullet burning.
I do have it set up where Brown County Sheriff's Department will be speaking to the board in December. December 3rd? Yes. The December 3rd meeting in the testifier. One of the two are coming in, the first meeting in December, to kind of give a report.
Steve, what other options do you see?
Green Bay would be an option, or partnering with Bellevue.
Their contract's up as well. Hobart, I believe, is up.
So they're staggered. They're 3 years up.
Everyone's coming
after
together.
Our 4 year, or 3+1 year.
Correct.
So there's a possibility for that as well. I don't think we're in a position to go on our own. We explored that, and to me it didn't make much sense to be exploring going on our own for fire and merging for, or going on our own for police and merging for fire. It seems like good for the goose is good for the gander, but I think we really need to consider consolidating some of these services with surrounding municipalities. And although the first one didn't work out like we wanted, I fully expected that after we merged with Green Bay, that the Ritter Forum would kind of take over and it would spread a little bit more, and it didn't. In fact, the Ritter Forum kind of dropped fire protection about a month after we merged with Green Bay, and I thought it would be an impetus for improving those discussions.
What's the Ritter Forum?
It was a forum sponsored by through St. Norbert College. For Mr. Ritter gave some money for municipalities to get together and try to figure out solutions, collaborative solutions to some public problems, and fire was one of them. We were all spending a lot of money on separate fire departments that many of which saw very little fire service like ours. And even joint purchasing just had a really tough time getting people on the same page. There was going to have to be a little bit of give and take. And so when I thought, when we went through this 2-year process with Green Bay to actually work out a collaboration that made sense for both of us, that would be an impetus. It wasn't, but I don't think that should discourage us. I think we need to start to figure out ways to try to combine and collaborate with other municipalities more frequently.
When the fire department is a contracted service that's automatically has their built into it, so that's what's showing up in here.
What's the length of that agreement?
We can opt out after 5.
For which one?
Fire department.
Yeah.
I believe it's a 5-year.
I still have it out.
But for all practical purposes, it would be difficult to
undo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As difficult as it was to merge, it would be.
Mm-hmm. Unscramble the egg.
Scramble the egg, right.
Does the peer have its own fire department?
They were invited to participate either in a merger with Green Bay or in a merger just with us and DePere when we first started negotiations, and they weren't very interested, evidenced by the proposal that they gave us. It was not anything that would be attractive. But times might have changed. Budgets are getting tighter, and people are having to be a little bit more pragmatic about where they spend their money.
Yeah, we could put a station on the run.
Well, that is, you know, that it was the part of the village where we had most concern, is that southeast part, in terms of its distance from a firehouse. And even when we had our own department, that was, they weren't meeting standards very well getting to that corner of the village. So it would be really nice if we had more of a metro fire department. And we do help out with Mavis and some agreements we have with neighboring municipalities, but it would be nice to be able to protect all of our residents, even if they happen to live in a part of the village where we can't get to very quickly with our own people.
Public fire protection charge, must be 3-4 years ago that we took half of that and applied it to
the utility.
So that's the second half of that.
Oh, I'm sorry, on the fire, how long have we been with this year two with Green Bay?
This is the merger of December 12, 2012.
Okay.
So it was at the very end there. So 13 was really the first full year. December 12 will be our year anniversary.
How much are we saving over
before?
Substantial?
I think when we close out 14, it'll give us a really good perspective, because I was trying to run some analysis on that, like you said. And just because we really only have one full year in, it's hard to see. But between the personnel costs and everything else, I think it's going to be pretty significant.
You've got an ancillary effect with the insurance premium.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's just a lot of trickle down that you wouldn't really expect. So that's. Mm-hmm.
And next year, I think it's going to be even more pronounced as insurance rates skyrocket. We're going to be kind of avoiding a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a high-risk group.
Has anyone noticed any difference? There's someone was mentioning to me that with his homeowner's insurance, it makes a difference. We had an alloy station in Green Bay. Has anyone else noticed that?
There was something constant.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. We actually, our rating went up. So
the response time and everything, right?
Yeah. So we should see a reduction. You should see a reduction in your homeowner's insurance. And we went from a 4 to a 2. I believe that's how we went, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. We're better trained now.
Anything like that?
That's a good question. We're better trained now than we were on our own.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of the training budget, and they weren't getting the kinds of experiences that they do now.
Any other questions under the public safety end of things? Inspections. I did that one too.
Under public safety, that's strictly our contract with Brown County, right?
Yes.
So that's not the cadets that we use or anything like that?
That should fall under
code enforcement,
which is down a little bit further.
Yeah.
Other services. Inspection. That is, you know, we touched a little bit on it, and we spoke to it earlier this year. The contracted service that we currently have, by utilizing our own staff to do the inspections, the benefits of having our own staff versus the contracted service, because then you end up collecting all the permits come back to the village versus at this point. We do 10%. You know, it's hard to determine what our revenues are going to be on building permits, but because I think this past year or last year was around 80,000. It just kind of goes up and down. But the intent is to try to utilize staff itself and have more availability to the residents.
That's been a major source of contention in my experience is people
wanting to come in, they can't.
Wanting to come in, it's not here. Yeah. So if we want to be more business friendly and really get active with the TID, then we need to have someone here who's responsive.
And ultimately, it'll cost less anyway.
It should. Right? The intent is that it wouldn't cost you anything on the building inspection side, correct?
All the projections we saw.
So I did put together that.
Correct. Based on the 3-year that we did, correct?
Yeah, I did that 5-year average, and we have 49,000 in average permits.
Brad, what was the notification for that?
It's a 60-day. So we're approaching that. And by tonight, if I have a census on which direction we'd be moving with that, I can start that process. Because we certainly want to give plenty of notification. So there's going to be some carryover probably on projects that they have started.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a little turmoil maybe as far as trying to do all the logistics. But if we can utilize our 60-day notice, get that going. So as we get through this tonight, or get a little further, we can have a little more discussion. Any more on the building inspection stuff? Code enforcement? Cadets?
So, is there a tent for that? I didn't see that.
For code enforcement and cadets? There is. It's going to be under inspection tab. Department 14, so there's 50 inspections from the code enforcement.
So, inspection code enforcement.
Under inspection, that's in the 2014 budget was we had contracted services for 90% of our budgeted revenues because that's how much we pay out. In 2015, that's where the wages are for that position.
Okay. The why are we spending so much more on the regular wages for inspection than we had budgeted?
That is where Trevor is going right now.
Yes. His wages have been charged to that account.
And
okay.
He, if we do a full-time position, which is in the budget, I put that under economic development and took it out of that area. I don't know why it was put in there. He started before I did.
Okay.
So I don't know what the discussion was there. Just found a spot, I guess.
Okay, so the budget 2015.
Yeah, and he's now in economic development, which is
under general administration.
How much of his time would be charged for the tip?
30%. We're charging
30.
Yeah, because right now I'm having Trevor write his actual.
I'm sorry.
Oh, because Trevor's hourly, he can write his actual hours right now, so we've been tracking that. And depending on the week, you know, he's been up to, like, lately 40% tips. So we will charge his actual hours
okay. There.
But just to be conservative, I'm putting it at 30% for the budget. So
okay. It
depends on activity.
Right.
But so otherwise, he's under conservation and development, 5, 6, 6, 7, 8. Really good details here for that. It is on page 6 under the general administration tab. We ran two scenarios, one at part-time, just under benefit eligible at 30 hours a week, 20 to 30 hours a week, and then this one is in at 40 hours a week.
So that would be the 29 plus all the ancillary charges.
Mm-hmm. And then he shows up again under the TIP district, under that tab.
Okay. Since you're on that page, on that page 6?
Yeah.
The contingency, second line, second row from the bottom, 15,000
mm-hmm.
is projected. We haven't had anything yet, we're just still have it as a just in case?
Well, the way that one works, I think previously actual costs have been charged a contingency. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm thinking we've used that up with the administrator search and other things like having Trevor on and all that. So those line items are going to be over budget. At the end of the year, I'm going to allocate the budget to reflect where we spent it. Whereas previously, they just like, they would have put the, what was it, PAA? Whoever did our professional search for the administrator,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have been put under there in contingency, but I put it under the administrator accounts, and I'll reallocate the budget at the end of the year. That way we can see where we spend.
Okay, so for 2015, the 19,000 under regular wages, that's for mm-hmm. the part-time inspector, part-time water guy?
Yes.
Under the code enforcement, the regular wages for
and Mark Roberts.
Do we pay the cadets anything or
no? Strictly volunteers.
Okay. Do they get credit for that?
Yes.
What's Mark's hourly?
25, 75, something like that. I don't have the payroll. It's between 25 and 26.
Has that been a problem too? for a little while, people were upset because Mark wasn't here either. He was writing tickets. They wanted to clarify or challenge, and he wasn't here for 4 days. Or have you heard anything with regard to the availability of the code enforcement?
I don't know what his schedule is. He's here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
And I think the issue is if he writes letters on Friday, then on Monday.
On Tuesday.
Yeah. And then Tuesday are pretty hot and heavy.
Mm-hmm. They're just kind of keeping an eye on that right now to get a feel for what all takes place. What are the complaints?
What was the rationale for Wednesday through Friday instead of because of the other work that he did?
I'm not sure. That was...
It'd be nice to get him Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we wouldn't have...
He's at Ledgeview, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, at Ledgeview, he's making substantially less there, right? Mm-hmm. What was the logic we used when we hired him?
I'm not sure.
What is a fair rate? I mean, are we paying correct? Are we paying over? Are they paying getting a heck of a deal? Or?
There are wage surveys that go out that I could. I have one from last year that Howard sent out. It's just hard because some people have full time. Mm-hmm. Like that on staff, or they have it combined with another position, so you're never comparing apples to apples anywhere.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't. He's been here longer than I have, so I don't
I
know when he started
that,
even.
Okay.
I can't remember. Which survey is there? We could look into that if you want to get a comparison.
I'd be interested to know.
The wages. Okay.
And if we're paying him more, if we're paying Ledgeview, seemed the reason that we would get our pick of days of the week and they would come second. I know he was with them before he was with us, but I wonder if they're invited too. Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know. I could ask Sarah, too.
Well, I'll work on getting those wages. The other two things, I guess, that were supplemental this year that he had asked for and we added were conferences and training.
And Ledgeview pays for a portion of that as well.
Okay.
I think that shows up in his.
Okay, so we'd split that with them, I guess.
So,
he's in subscriptions and then conferences.
Okay. codification should help with.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of that, right? Because mm-hmm. a lot of things probably not even knowing what the codes are and the ability to go online and see all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the intent.
But some of the cases that take the most time, I don't think it has anything to do with not understanding what the ordinance is. It has to do with not caring what the ordinance is. Okay.
Anything else on code, emergency, or animal control? Something to let Craig go at Public Works?
All right, here we go.
Oh, I thought you were going to do that.
No.
Well, engineering is the engineering department, and it's also where we park the seminars and conferences, and that sort of thing all falls into engineering. The way the engineering department works, and also my time, is it's allocated based on our estimate of where we spend our time between the utilities and public works. So engineering has part of the engineering, but the other business segments that we have also get part of the administration and engineering. So that's how we handle that. In essence, the engineering cost is about the same as it has been. The projected to year end 2014 is probably a little bit high, because I see in looking at it, I didn't lower the insurance cost for 2014 projected based on finding out that the rate was a little too high. I didn't adjust it, so it's probably $2,000 less than what it shows in this table. But that's what engineering is. There's really no change in that. DPW administration is the category where we kind of park, again, the miscellaneous costs, things of that sort, plus there's regular wages and there's professional salaries, which is part of my time, and the uniforms and a few of those things are in that category. And it's really about the same as what we project for 2014, you know, $1,000 less, but it's about the same as what we're projecting for this year.
All the safety training's in there, too.
Yeah, the staff training, the third-party trainer that we retain is in the DPW administration. Safety training that we do every year, a variety of different things that we do to maintain the safety program. The actual labor for training for staff is in the next one, street department training. That's the actual staff labor when they're attending training. Street repairs is part of the street maintenance work. It's not all of it, but it's part of it. The $234,000 budgeted for next year. 2014 was $240,000. 2015 was $234,000. Just a couple minor differences in there in terms of cost and the health insurance and so forth is part of that difference.
This is a large expense. Can you remind me what our uniform policy is?
Uniforms? We use Aramark, but it's a mixture of what it used to be. The uniform service used to be they would turn in uniforms, have them laundered, and bring them back. We changed it to where some of the fellows turn in uniforms for launderers, but more of them launder themselves. So they get the uniforms. It's still a uniform service, but they launder at home. Just easier to do. And then the other part of it is we purchased some of the uniform parts rather than lease them.
So we pay a small fee per month for those uniforms, but they're purchased. They're not part of any laundering service. By doing that, well, we cut the cost, I think, at least by 50%. It might be lower than that from what it used to be. Don't have the exact numbers, but I think we spent over $20,000 a year for uniforms, and we're down $5,000 or $6,000, $7,000 total.
It would be a huge problem to change the policy where clean your own uniform.
Well, there's two things about the uniform service. They do the repairs. So if you've got clothes that need repair, you turn them in, they repair them and give them back to you. And the other part is we have a garage, and we have a lot of shop stuff, and that's greasy stuff. So that uniform service takes care of that stuff.
How often do you get a new uniform as a
boy? Yeah, it'd be pretty tattered.
So how long does it take for them to get?
You might have your pants for a year, year and a half before they start to replace them.
Oh, yeah, easily. 2 to 3 years before they replace some of the stuff.
Does each employee have more than one uniform?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got enough to cover themselves. I think there's 6 pairs of pants. If I'm not mistaken, 6 shirts. So they've got everything through the week, plus they turn them in. If they are turning them in, then they've got enough for that next day when they come back to deliver it again.
We've got a pretty, I think, pretty cost-effective service right now by the way we balance it out.
So this $4,000 gets you all those uniforms?
And for street department.
And for the street department.
Parks is... thank you. Parks is a little bit different. Couple thousand in the parks, and then water's got a couple thousand.
Water department.
How many people work in public water? Who are you?
10.
Ten.
Thank you. Jeff is in as an engineer, and then the water utility, and the garage. This is the uniforms for public works. Mm-hmm. The street repairs is part of the street repair budget. In this is the mill and overlay. And we're budgeting basically the same for next year as we did this year, which is the same as we budgeted last year. The only thing is we're not going to spend, if you look at the mill and overlay, the $53,300,433, we're not spending all of the money that we have in the mill and overlay and in reclaiming, which comes up a little bit later. Because of the volume of projects we have this year, we just can't complete all of the projects. So one of our proposals is just to carry over what we have left, and then we'll continue on next year. LeBrun is in there. So LeBrun would be completed out of what's remaining, and then what's left over will be part of next year's work, added to what we're budgeting for next year. Snow and ice control.
Wait a minute, Greg. Yes. Question. On one of the things I filled out and sent over, I was asking about how many linear miles and everything like that.
Yeah.
With this, so what we're projecting for next year is 3/4 of a mile of work that we would repair or replace. Yeah. Is that in this?
This money that I want to carry over is included in that 3/4 of a mile.
Okay. Because here's the reason for my question and laying it out, because I asked Craig about what we had done over the last, from 2012, 13, 14 this year, and then projected for next year. It was just looking at what percentage of the roads are we replacing. And if you add up those four, we're at 12% of the village over a four-year period. So that means it would, at that same rate, mm-hmm. it would take more than 32 years mm-hmm. to get to all the roads. And I don't know if, based off of, because I heard from his street and utility construction plan a while back, if that's fast enough, do we need to, whether it's for 2015 or definitely for 2016, start to plan to do 3 to 4% of the roads each year, because even 4%, we'd still be the last set of roads that we're replacing or working on are 25 years old.
The replacement will actually be shorter than what you estimated, because there's quite a few streets that have already been done.
Okay.
So
I didn't know how far to go back, yeah, and I didn't want to. That's why I just did 12, 13.
There's a good 20% of the streets that have been done since 2004.
Okay.
Have you seen the map?
So
outlays.
What?
That one.
What?
I think so.
One of the things that one of the things that I wanted to do in one of our next or upcoming tasks is to revisit that, modify it to account for Riverside Drive and a couple of other things that are going on, and then come up with the next plan, if you will. That three-phase plan still applies, but supplemented with more of the road maintenance part of the program.
Because that's what I didn't know how much of phase three we want to push up so that we can start to get a new phase one, phase two,
sure,
phase three.
To give you a seat-of-the-pants number, long-term you need to repair, either reconstruct, resurface, or reclaim. Reclaiming is simply taking the road right down to the gravel and regrading it and then paving it. The overlay is you mill off an inch and a half and then you pave that inch and a half back over. That's a maintenance thing. You would have to do a good solid a half mile per year just to maintain the roads when they're in good shape. A half mile a year of overlays just to maintain them. And that's a 50-year life overall for everything. So really down the road, you're going to have to think about how can you allocate more money to streets just to maintain them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. We're going to have to do that. The reason we haven't done it so far or right now is because we have the $5 million project and the $4 million project and the two water main projects and Huffman Road, and then Riverside Drive coming up. We are catching up a lot, but once you get to that point, you've got to have the plan for how much you need to spend and do, and where you need to do it, so you can stay ahead of the game, because mm-hmm. you don't want to fall back behind like we have been.
No, but we won't be spending the money on the complete reconstruction of the road.
Exactly.
I mean, your point's well taken, though. Do we accelerate it even more so that we get... And that's sort of the art of balancing, right? Yeah, we've been accelerating quite a bit during the past...
Right.
Well, since Craig got here, about 8 years, really, 8 to 10 years. And
yeah, because Huffman Road really helps us in terms of the percentage of the village that we're covering, but then for 2015, we're not even at 1.5% of the village. So that's why I was asking, is that what's in here, or is there a different line item that I missed?
No, this is just the maintenance. So, and it's, you know, the reason we haven't made an issue of this, we're spending about $250,000 on maintenance, plus there's money in here for utilities. But because we're doing the other projects, so we have to borrow to do those. It's too much money. But yeah, you're absolutely right. We've got to look at the next phase and how do we maintain it, still keep moving ahead, and how do we budget to do that. And in that evaluation, there, you know, in 2024 you retire over $20 million in debt. So what we're doing right now to take us through 2014, 2016. 2018, those would be borrowings to do these projects. Then you have a gap in there, which you can either move it up or you wait until you retire some of this debt and can do a significant project to take care of the rest of the streets. But that's where we have to update the plan to look at that. But it's exactly
that's what my letter was all about. I mean, you have a lot of work to do, but it's a matter of do you. You raise taxes a little bit now to start to adjust mm-hmm. for it? Do you borrow and just sort of kick the can down the road? We have a lot of debt.
Ballpark figure, the amount for, let's say, for a mile of road, what's the ballpark figure for resurfacing as opposed to, what'd you call it, remilling, where you're taking it down to the bottom? What would be a per mile, just a round number, just so that we see what we're trying to deal with.
When you build new roads today, it's $2 million a mile.
For taking it down to the, yeah. Okay. And then if you're, we're just resurfacing.
Reclaiming, you mean?
And then a new curb and gutter.
And that doesn't count the infrastructure.
The infrastructure underneath, yeah.
Deal, but usually when we're reclaiming roads, we're changing
out.
Well, I can give you a number. The Huffman Road, the west half, will be or has been reclaimed. In other words, down to gravel, regraded, and some curb repair and so forth. And that's about $200,000 to do that piece.
Which piece is that?
That would be west. From Libel up to Webster. That's the paving.
$200,000.
Yeah, it's a half mile. That's $200,000 for just the paving. It's probably $300,000.
Just trying to get a grasp of what kind of dollars we look at.
What was the estimate for Green Avenue when we were talking about from Webster to East River Drive with all the infrastructure replacements and all the road?
$3 million.
It was a little bit more than that, even.
Yeah, it might be. It was over $1 million for the western half.
Green Avenue from Webster to East River Drive.
To East River, okay.
Including all the infrastructure.
And that was doing the safe streets, right? The complete federal budget, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it was what we spent on the west half, which was not complete streets, but we did put sidewalk in. And the eastern half with complete streets. The eastern half was $1.5 million was the estimate for the eastern half. We spent $1.3 million on the western half, I believe is what it was. So
we should get a portion of the Bell and Run revenue. That's
the Run revenue?
The Bell and Run revenue. That's the part of the whole route.
It is really the biggest issue you face long term is how much are we going to do on streets and when and how do we plan it out. I think that's the biggest challenge that you face here in the future.
But we're over the hump with pretty much with things like stormwater. So I mean, there were some big projects in the last 10 years that we need to borrow a lot of money for.
At some point in time, can we see a graph of retiring debt and how much money we've got out there and different things retire?
Yeah. I know I put in...
Great, thank you.
I put in, you know, what's coming up, I've scheduled what's out there, but if you want to see the
entire debt service. And
yeah, I have that. I could print one. I can print from here, right?
Yep.
So I have one in here, but I have it closed up.
We're not borrowing. We are borrowing, or planning to borrow next year, or not planning to borrow next year?
For the water loan project is a borrowing.
Be a safe drinking water fund loan?
That's safe drinking water fund loan. That's about $2.3
million. How do you know?
And then there will be a borrowing after that for the village portion of Riverside Drive. Because that will have to be a 2017 construction project. And that's to refurbish and replace any underground utilities on Riverside Drive. And that's got to be done a year in advance of the DOT project.
So you've got 3 miles of that.
Yeah.
So what are you guessing? $3 million? $4 million?
I don't think it'll be that much. I know we did some cost estimates already, different levels of replacement. We haven't sat down with our staff and ironed out what our final recommendation is, because we continue to learn things as we do things out there, and we've experienced some additional water main problems at Riverside Drive, and so that's a winter project. We're going to evaluate that, and because we need to get started on the design of Riverside Drive, and so that'll start this winter, and so we'll be talking about that and kind of iron out what it would be, but it's something we have to start pretty soon. Okay, so we're kind of waiting so we know what the road looks like, because that impacts where the utilities are.
So the next couple of years, we'll be at least borrowing another probably $4 or $5 million.
Yeah.
That's the cost.
I would say get in that range. Yeah. $3 to $4 million for sure. Okay. snow and ice control, and you would ask a question about that. It's down a little bit because the salt brine use has allowed us to cut some overtime hours and salt usage. It's a real thing that's happened. It's allowed us to cut 10-15% on our overall costs. I mean, in those two categories, labor and salt use. And also efficiency, trying to really tailor our response to the storm so that sometimes we come in at 4 a.m. instead of 2 a.m. You know, and a lot of times in years past, you know, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, we'd call in the guys and start plowing. We'd move that back because we're more efficient and, you know, watch the storm more closely, and sometimes we call in more people, sometimes less, and been able to kind of keep that cost pretty level. We look at it like we have a number of target storms. There's so many small ones, so many medium, and so many big. We kind of looked at the years and we averaged, and that's what we budget on. Kind of hit that average. We don't try to go up and down too much. We just try to hit that average and then let it flow. One year we're going to save money, next year we might be a little bit over. Try to hit that median point. And that seems to be, I think that's about where we are. Even that bad year last year, they didn't put us over budget in Public Works, which I think worked out pretty good. Signs and markings, it's down a little bit because a lot of the signs that we had to replace, we've done. We had to replace a lot of street signs and a lot of stop signs.
So that, from age?
Yeah. There's a new mandate out there on signs. So you have to replace them at a certain... They give you some options, but we took the time schedule based. They get to be so old, we replace them. And then we don't have to do the sign studies and go out and read those all and so forth. So we're on that program, and we've made a good step forward in catching up. Tree and brush control is up a bit, and that reflects the larger volume from tree trimming in the winter. So there's more trees besides what we pick up. There's the roadway trimming, so that's a little higher because of that. Curb and gutter work is we spend about $10,000 a year repairing curb and gutter throughout the village. Street construction is the other part of our street work. That's the reclaiming, where we go down to gravel, grade the gravel, and then pave the 4 inches.
So you budgeted $125 for that and didn't use it. So right. You're rolling that over to you.
Yeah, that's what I'm proposing to do.
Yeah, that's carryover, not levy for that budget amount.
You know, the issue was we're doing $4 million worth of construction in 1 year. The last time we had a big borrowing, we did it over 2 years, and that was $5 million. So we did a lot of work this year. But Huffman Road was part of that, and that's why we did it all in 1 year.
Craig, when you talk about projects, is there a way to see what we spend by project over the course of a year?
You mean like by street?
Or by project. So you've got Huffman Road as
sure.
a project.
Yeah, we have a lot, sure. Yeah.
Is that... That would be interesting from a village resident's perspective to see this is where we spend our money. We're really, you know, if you talk about projects, they can visualize that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. We can do that as part of this update of the plan. Street lighting I raised by $5,000. This year we will finish a little bit under budget, but WPS is looking at, depending on how it works out, but somewhere around a 3% rate increase. And we rent lights is what we do. So we don't own the street lights. We paid, you know, $20 per light per month, and they maintain it and they supply the power.
Well, if we get rid of the lights, we can save a lot of money.
There may be a point in time to do that.
Jim, to your point as well about the streets, and we're talking about a 6.2 now, is it? $1 million budget? And if it costs you, you know, if Green Avenue from border to border, if we've done all the infrastructure and everything complete, is $3.5 million. I mean, Jenny, that's a
it's over half of your annual budget on just this one street. And it's an east-west street, and it doesn't go all the way to the Fox River. So I think folks need to understand how expensive this is, but it's got to be done. You can't have a functioning village where people want to live if the streets and the infrastructure are. So I think you're right. It'd be good for us to get a sense of the cost of these projects, but also to make sure that residents know what percent of our total budget some of these things make up.
Right. And I know you have kind of a hit list at the end of the year if there's anything left over, because there certainly are streets and maybe just a block long here and there.
Exactly.
And if you can fill those in.
And things come up, right? But if you have a huge infrastructure problem, if the street wasn't on the list, it's going to get pushed to the top of the list if you're going to have to dig up the street to get up the infrastructure.
Exactly. Once we borrow the money and we bid the project, like let's take our recent borrowing, and we're well under the borrowing, so we have money left because of very good prices on our construction work. And so what we do is then we manage it to the budget. We have a hit list of the next priorities that we know are right up there, whether they're one or two or three, it doesn't matter, but they're right at the top. And then you match it to the project. So there's a couple streets that we paved that, you know, like we talked about at Public Works a couple of times, maybe we got to pave some streets even though we don't fix the underground because we just can't wait that long. So we did some small blocks this year to fit that in and take care of some bad spots. Fix the little curb and whatnot, and they're good for 10 or 15 years. So that's what we do is we manage it to the budget. And there's money, there should be some money left in the bond because we don't have the actual firm hard dollar cost from the county for Huffman Road. That's time and materials. They give us an estimate. We signed a contract based on the estimate, but it's not a bid. It's not a contractor's bid. So that's why we're a little hesitant on charging ahead on other things because we want to make sure there's enough money to pay that bill. That's just how it works in that situation.
If we're concerned about people knowing the cost of projects, should we, there are some cities that will put up their signs saying this project cost X number of dollars, so that they'll see your dollars at work. And maybe that's
On the website would be a good place to do that too.
Yeah.
And just, here's what we completed this year.
Donations here.
Yeah. Okay. Except credit cards.
Yep. Toll booth.
If we did general fund expenditure, if we did $4 million, say, worth of projects this year, the budget for next year for Public Works is $2 million. Does that include all the costs?
Is that $4 million that you're talking about? Because this is general fund expenditures. A lot of that was in the capital projects fund, Fund 48, which is not reflected in this chart.
And then it's also picked up by the sanitary utility pays for the sanitary sewer replacement, storm for storm, water for water. And then the tax levy picks up the street portion. Those are good questions. That's really what we have to look at as we go forward. The curb and gutter is just, we've already covered that. We're going down to sidewalk. Sidewalk is just spot sidewalk repair. We have to replace, by code, we have to replace sidewalk when it has more of a pitch, cross heave on the joints and things. And so we do about $10,000 a year, and we try to stay real close to that number so we keep making some progress on fixing sidewalks. Again, we could spend more money in that area, but we are making progress. Garbage collection is a little higher because we're now covering the full cost of the vehicles and the equipment charge. In the past, we underfunded that a little bit. Over a period of time, we adjusted equipment charges in all of our services. Some were too high, some were too low. We've worked to try to level them out and balance them to match the actual services we provide. And the reason why it went up is because we raised the equipment charges in garbage collection, so we cover the full cost of the equipment in that. Refuse collection is about the same as as before, that's bulk waste. I think there's a little higher equipment charges in that one. Leaf collection is up a little bit, a little higher than we budgeted. It's about the same as what we forecast to be finishing 2014 at.
What happened?
I'd have to look at it and see what we adjusted.
The equipment charges again.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, 10,000.
Yeah, we raised the equipment charges.
How do we have... I'm sorry.
Well, the trees got bigger. You're older.
How do... As of June 30th, we've had wages for leaf collection at $14,000. Is that just because we annualize that a person's income? Or
actually, it's a rather complex answer. There shouldn't be any charges there.
That's what I would think.
But what happened was we had changed how we reported a couple of years ago. Leaves were leaves. Yard waste was yard waste. We didn't mix the two together. Inadvertently, we kind of forgot about it in 2014, and we split the charges between leaves and yard waste at the same time, and that's why it shows up. So now we got to split the charges between leaves and yard waste to come out to the right budget at the year end. Okay. That's what happened. We did that three, 4 years ago. We made that switch to get away from that issue, but it crept back into the system, and before we knew it, we had charged time to it. And rather than go back to Clara and ask her to move all the hours around, we figure we just work with it like we did years ago, and then next year we'll catch it, do it the right way. So yard waste is about the same as last year, same as we budgeted. Landfill is a little higher, $5,000. The tipping fee went up. So I raised it by $5,000. We're going to finish probably just a little under $150,000 this year, maybe $1,000 or $2,000 less. But I raised it by $5,000 because the tipping fee went up 60 cents, I think it is, per ton. Curbside recycling.
The county, right?
Yeah. And curbside recycling. We're actually cutting that a little bit because our recycling program is pretty efficient in terms of equipment charges and labor, so stayed about level.
But you're projecting 2014 to be 36,000, and we're budgeting an extra 11 for next year.
126,000 versus 142,000, yeah.
I'm sorry, are you talking about regular wages for curbside recycling?
Oh, I'm just looking at the total.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just looking at the total wages. What happens with the labor? Let me find that. The labor is a percentage of the total labor. So when I assign the percentages, it can vary by a bit, yet it's really the same number. It's because the total labor hours changed. You know, I allocated a little more time to the garage this year. We need more support in the garage.
Okay.
That took away a little bit out of the street department, and that changed the numbers a little bit all the way through the street department. The total number is still the same, just the allocation is a little different.
Okay.
And we don't pay differently, do we?
No. It's just that the allocation, it can vary.
Where you're allocating extra hours to curbside recycling for next year over this year to a tune of $11,000, you're reducing some other wages?
Right.
And I'm guessing that's garbage collection?
Or it could be anywhere because it's a percentage of the total.
Okay.
You know, we were going from $49,000 in regular wages down to $47,000, $2,000 less. It's not
well, actually, you're going up because your projected is 36,000.
Yeah, I'm looking at budgeted 49.5.
Yeah,
and then budgeted 47.5. One of the things I don't like to and see, we're at 41,000 in 2013.
Right.
I don't like to make large changes in budget items. You know, that's why the equipment charges, I've been raising them over time. because I personally, the way I look at it is, if I raise it by 15%, I might be off. And so then I went 15%, I might be 10% too high, and then I got to reduce it. So I go in increments. I always take half of the adjustment and then kind of move through it and see how it works out. That's the way I budget for equipment and labor and things like that. I smooth it.
And that's where I think the strategic planning will also help in having a plan. This is our plan for the next 5 years, and this is where we really expect to see our spend be. That way, it's a little more consistent.
Maybe I didn't catch it. Why are you allocating more to recycling per hour or labor?
I'm allocating less. We went from 49.5 down to 47.5 in the budget. It's only $2,000, but it is less.
Because we're more efficient in recycling production?
Yeah.
To me, and I could be wrong, seeing this is my first run at this stuff, but budget for 2014 isn't relevant any longer. It's the projected 2014 that is relevant today, because that's what we actually spent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've been comparing projected 2014 to budget 2015.
That's valid. I look at what we're projected. I look at what we budgeted. I look at the year before. Mm-hmm. I'd like to look at 5 years if I can. And then I kind of judge accordingly. And I look at, like snow and ice, I look at the weather forecast. Where we think we're going to be.
And know it's going to be.
It's going to be a warmer winter. Weed control is the mowing of lawns, you know, the complaints where we go out and we have to mow tall grass and things like that. That's the big part of that. And then LeBrun is just the maintenance of that facility. Handling the materials out there, handling the brush.
Have we had less like occasion for that since we changed the fine for us having to mow lawn? We lose money every time we mow lawns, right? We don't charge them as much as it costs us to.
I guess I wouldn't say that there's less. I think that the number of foreclosed homes is still significant, and that's the primary thing we see. So yeah, there's a fair bit of lawn mowing.
We got to get out of that business somehow.
We did raise it a lot, though, didn't we?
I know, but apparently it's not. Even if a home's foreclosed, someone's got to take
more
care
lawn.
Of it, right? Someone's got to mow lawn, and if they've got to cheap out because we're doing it for them, losing money for every lawn we mow.
How many foreclosed homes are there?
Do we know? Jim? No idea?
There's quite a few.
Do we put a lien on the property when we do that?
We get a notice of foreclosure, and then we file to try to capture the money.
Okay. But very seldom do we.
No, I think we get some of it.
Yeah, it goes on the tax roll every year.
Yeah, it goes on the tax roll. So overall, it's a 1% increase in public works. In public works, which is primarily equipment charges, raising those equipment charges up. And the tipping fee and the electrical power.
So the revenue for public works projected of 488 for 2014, and we're projecting or budgeting for 460.
The state transportation aids goes down about $23,000 in 2015. That's a big part of it.
Okay. So that goes into the public works.
Yeah. Okay. And then the recycling, the state aid that we get for 2014, I forecasted it at 98,914. That was an early estimate, and it turned out that I don't know if that came from the state or if I calculated off of history, But it turned out to be $3,000 higher than what it turned out to be. So there's $26,000 difference in the revenue. The other thing in here, recyclable materials, has been a real challenge to estimate. I have it at $25,000, and I think, quite honestly, $25,000 might be high. It might be closer to $20,000 for the year, which is what I forecasted to this year end. The market just has not been good. That's the plastic containers, aluminum cans, all that kind of stuff. It's just not been a very good market.
It's volatile. I mean, I remember one year
we were paying.
We had a tough budget year. We were trimming. We were trying to look for nickels and dimes, and then all of a sudden the market bottomed out in the recycling, and we had to go back to the drawing board to come up with.
Yeah.
I think it was like $20,000 to $30,000 that we thought we were going to have. But
so where does that money come from? We get that money. So we make money by turning in recyclables?
Yeah,
sometimes. We have to pay for them to take it, right?
The best we did since I've been here, we made about $50,000 1 year, a little more than $50,000. And then we dropped down to below $20,000 1 year. The market in China was very strong when the economy was booming, and a lot of the products were sold overseas. There's no market overseas for the products anymore, and they're all sold locally here. Our biggest thing was paper, because we kept paper separate. And when Brown County went to single stream and combined everything together, we delayed, intentionally delayed, because we wanted them to get their system running. Because they're generally in the single stream market, there was problems with the processing and stuff, you know, getting it to work. So we stayed with our dual stream and sold our paper directly to Georgia Pacific. And we did very well that year because we had a dedicated market, and very few other people were hauling to Georgia Pacific, so we made some extra money that year. But then we went to single stream because the overall cost savings was there. And that's why our recycling is so efficient, because single stream is just a very economical way to handle that. So. Any other questions on Public Works?
Park and Rec. Park and Rec is in. Well, the biggest change in the Park and Rec would be, again, going back to the insurance aspect, but we also have a little shift in when you're looking at the projection versus budgeted. We spent more time in the forestry during the winter months. We spent about a month and a half, I think we were.
Good solid 6 weeks, or almost 7 weeks, I think.
Trimming in that below zero weather. So there's more that's been allocated in expenses to forestry versus Park and Rec this year. So the guys get their time is spread over several different areas.
Okay.
And then they just rate accordingly which account it goes to each week. So those are the biggest changes. Some of the projections I put basically at budget, but you know, the water and sewer could be a little bit less because of how wet it was, because some of that's for irrigation, and we didn't have to run anything this fall, so it should be much less than that.
Why didn't we have to run anything this fall?
Because it was so wet.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the pavilion,
the baseball field. So.
Yeah.
We don't rent the gazebo very often, do we?
It's only, I got to think what the fee is. It's very inexpensive. If you rent the
rent it for weddings and things?
Yeah. If you rent the pavilion, it comes with it. And a lot of times you get people that will ask, well, is the gazebo open? So then we go back to the renter. Yeah, we're not going to use it, so then we can rent that out as well.
Okay.
It's usually for like an hour or so for a quick wedding.
But people could use it for free, too.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. But they're not guaranteed it's available.
Correct.
Did you ever get married, Jim?
Nope. Been there, done that, still there. Still doing it.
Park security, that is, what that is, are the individuals that work our rentals. so that we make sure that we maintain the facility and nothing happens. So they're down there working those little rentals each week.
These guys are phenomenal.
They're great.
They do
PR.
A really good job.
Who's that?
Security. The park security. Yeah, I mean, they take care of just the key drop off and pick up too.
Yeah,
and they're fabulous.
We've got a gentleman that the last two Fridays, I wanted to make sure that they, because of all the leaves falling, we have weddings, to make sure that we blow that off. The same gentleman that does this part time showed up both days when I was down there talking to the guy to go over and do that. Gets out of his car with his blower and did it himself. It was like, and on his dime, he doesn't turn that in.
What's his name?
Let's read it on your libel screen.
Want to hire him for something?
No, I can't. I'm just drawing a blank on his name.
Be nice to acknowledge that. That's
He's Gary. Gary, and I can't think of his last name right offhand, but. They do a phenomenal job. Park man or mechanic. That's some of the mechanic is shown in just the 1017 account, and some of it's in 71 account based on equipment replacement. So the park mechanic would be more or less your weed trimmers and items that don't fall under the capital improvement or equipment replacement fund. So those are the things that he's working on. And believe it or not, he spends quite a bit of time on that, as you can see. Again, the forestry, you can see where wages were way above what was budgeted. The trend is to continue doing that, working side by side with some of the street department staff to get as much of that done as we can. Worked out fairly well. Questions on forestry? Recreation, that drops, obviously. A new person coming in would be less. Health insurance. And under the contracted service, because you can see where the projected is 24.6, that was the aerial survey, or the old deer survey. Mm-hmm. So we didn't expend the whole thing, but the $5,500 for next year would be to start working on the 5-year outdoor rec plan. What I did a couple years ago is I hired an intern, and that's where it was charged to, so that's intent to look at an intern again.
What happened between 2013 and 2014?
In which account?
For rec administration, $55,300. Do we do something with Jenny then? Or went from 163 to 186. I'm looking at actual 2013 to budget 2014.
163 to...
Because you're seeing a drop from 186 to 172 because we plan on...
Jenny is only 4,000 of that.
Yeah.
There's more seasonal.
There were more seasonal. And that has changed. We dropped some of those programs.
Mm. 13 to 14. Yeah, 13 to 14 under rec admin.
163 was the actual in 2013, and then we budgeted
12,000 more health insurance.
A lot of that's and a lot of health insurance.
There's something up with that number.
Okay. We got all the programs, and majority of the programs are youth orientated, and some of them cover their costs. They have the one that doesn't is the summer playground program. But then you look at trying to get the adults to through some of their programming to pay for that as well. So,
Jenny, when you say they don't. They really don't make any money. You're talking about children's programs or
just the summer playground program, right? If we're running a particular program, the intent is to break even or make a little out of it. But idea for the kids. You want to make sure you're breaking even so that you're providing great opportunities for those kids. Mm-hmm. The adults, you typically make additional funds off of them.
When you say break even, you're talking about labor and material.
Yes.
Right.
Is there anything wrong with making money on programs?
No. Sometimes we do. Sometimes you make a pretty good a decent profit. Tennis is one of those that you have one or two instructors there, and all of a sudden if you got 15 kids, 20 kids showing up for every day through that week, because the instructor can carry that many kids, then your profit is much higher. But then that could drop down the next year where you've got 7, 10, 12.
So what's our most profitable? Is that men's softball? Or
yeah.
We sell beer a lot.
Nope. Did we? We did, but no. No.
Are
we subsidizing any of the...
What's that?
That would offset any insurance decrease.
Are we subsidizing any of the programs? We are weaning the program.
No subsidies. We used to do a subsidized payment to, like, the LA Buccaneers, Girls Little League, Boys Little League, hockey, Babe Ruth.
Band.
at one point, that was a pretty hefty amount of money. I'm going to say closer to that. Let me say $12,000, $14,000, Debbie would estimate. And over the years, it just kind of was weeding down. And now the last, so we must be going on 4 years that we haven't given anything to those. In fact, those programs continue to give back by improvements to the facilities. So it's a nice relationship.
So we're not making money off of some of the programs, but years ago we were actually subsidizing the programs, and now they're selling concessions and they're finding other ways to. We're still adding with some of the maintenance of the fields and things
correct,
like that.
Correct.
But they're actually giving back and making improvements to
the lighting and
backstops.
Yeah. A lot of
East Lawn that they made. East High School made some improvements to the practice field.
East Lawn, Green Bay East raised the money to redo the entire infield a couple years ago. So it's a nice relationship. And then we do charge the schools, East High School, Notre Dame, Southwest, or any of the schools that utilize our facilities, a fee to, if they're going to have a soccer game, like $35 for that game, just to cover some of the cost.
So a lot of the programs that don't really make any money or might even cost a little bit of money, too, for the younger kids, and once they get a little bit older.
Yeah, we don't run an adult program if it's not absolutely not making, breaking even, or making something, and you just don't run them.
And the fees that we charge for adult programs, are they equivalent to other areas' programs?
Yeah, they're very, very comparable to others. And then there is a separation between a resident and non-resident. A pretty good separation. It used to be only $3, but now we're almost twice as much.
We have this conversation every year, and you know where I stand on that. I still think we need to look at the fee structure for the pavilion and make sure that our residents have access.
Yeah. Well, we started that this past year, is where the residents have the first opportunity to get signed up. You get those long-standing ones that the run, walk events, you slide those in so you don't lose their dates.
Right.
It works hard to get those. But, we open it up to our village residents first. There is a fee structure, a resident versus non-resident for renting the pavilion. And that was all implemented this past year, so.
I think we should look at widening that gap even more. I think residents of Alloway should be able to use the facilities that they pay for more oftentimes than not.
And is it tough to get the pavilion?
I think we have a policy where, that Alloway residents can sign up for the first couple months or something
through
of the
March.
Year
through
March.
Latest through March.
But still, so you want to have an event in the early fall or something, you might not think about it until April, and then people from all around the area still have So I'm just not thinking, I mean, I think we should develop a system where you should be able to walk in and only be a couple months out and still have a reasonable chance of getting a reservation.
But then you won't get out the rentals because they're all the weddings.
You can lose a lot of rental that way.
Now we have a rental.
I don't know. I think you fill them anyway. I mean, you
even
might not get the...
Even family reunions are scheduled a year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a wedding that's been on the docket for, it'll be 2 years now.
Sure.
They want to be married on Babe Ruth baseball field.
Oh.
Because the guy is, that was his, either his grandfather or great-grandfather. And the field's named after him, Doc Knockers. And so, yeah, he wanted to be married on that field that is named after. So I've got it even on the schedule for Babe Ruth, no games on a Saturday at all.
At one point, I thought you had asked Jenny to sort of keep tabs of how many people call and ask for a weekend, and it's taken.
We did that for quite some time, and that probably is not something that we're up to date on.
Right. I'd like to see those data. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of implications for the budget, but just as a matter of policy, I understand people are reserving things a year plus in advance, but I also know that I'd like to see how many of the... I know people will also reserve it on behalf of themselves by, you know, with someone in the room.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't take long to figure that trick out.
No.
Are there any plans in Park and Rec for new programs?
Constantly... One of the things that Jenny's been very successful on is a lot of our painting programs, adult painting classes. The community center, where most of this is held, is booked 6 days out of the week.
Six days
out of the week. So it's difficult to add some additional. But we utilize Green Isle whenever we can as well. So... And if she were to run a new program, you know, June comes around and has this idea to run a program, obviously that program's got to break even because it's not in the budget.
Right.
So you're going to do that in and out aspect.
Yeah, I'd like to see it make money. Yeah. I mean, those kinds of services, as long as they're fairly priced, there's nothing wrong with making money on those programs.
Right.
And classes where you have... People come if they pay $15 to be there for 4 hours or whatever it might be. Pay the instructor.
There's some of them that we need to get into the schools, and it costs us so much to rent the facility, it makes it cost prohibitive. To rent, I won't say the parochial school, but for us to rent. Webster School on a Saturday for a 3-hour open gym. And what they typically want, it's a 3-hour minimum, and typically have to pay for 4 hours. Don't get that one. And it's $125 or $135. Plus, if you have someone working at the rental too, or the program, so add that on there. It's hard to take and make it work.
Okay.
What are the rental fees for going as resident? And then
I think a resident must be at the pavilion $95 for first 4 hours. For non-residents, $135, something like that. Community center is $50 for the first 4 hours for a resident. And you know what? They might be the same. I got to rethink that one. And those rentals have gone up a lot over the years. That was a nice outlet for us to utilize that facility.
Economic development?
Huh? Economic development. You did that one.
It moves from inspection to economic development.
Yes.
It would be 70% of the full-time wage. The other 30% being in the TIF fund.
there a TIF right now?
What's that? It should be a tab. TIF, T-I-D.
Last
I didn't year. Make myself one because that was. It should be green.
3,404%.
So that's under professional salaries. That's Brad and I are each doing 10% there. And then regular wages, that's the hourly wages. And that's covered. And then combined 10% of Brad and I's fringes.
And the 288,000?
That is the increment that we anticipate generating next year. Based on the increasing value, so I just, it's not finalized yet because we don't have everyone's rates yet, but you just take.
So that's income due to appreciation of property
yes.
values?
Yeah. Which to get, you know, I asked our assessor, Mike, about it. And he kind of rattled off some of what it was. It's that whole medical equipment that used to be Brennan, that's part of it. This, I forget the name of it, Sunrise or Sunset Village in between on St. Joe's.
Sunrise.
Yeah. That's in our TIF district. So that worked out nice. And then miscellaneous other appreciation, I guess. So you just take that multiplied by our tax rates from the county schools. Technical College, and it's $288,596 that we would anticipate getting because we get to keep everything but the state.
Now, that's money that we then intend to allocate back to businesses for infrastructure and that sort of thing?
That money must be kept in the TIF to pay for the costs outlined in our project plan.
Okay. So if someone comes to us asking for help, that's where the money comes from.
Right.
Did we put our boy, I can't even think of what it's called. But the service that we want to have done on that area, is that
corridor in here? Study?
Yes, the corridor study, is that in here?
That is, you put that.
I didn't put it anywhere.
That should be in the kitchen.
It should fall under this, but you know, at this point we haven't even opened. We received the RFPs, but we have not opened the fee structure on those because we're looking at the quality-based selection process.
Mm-hmm.
That will come to the board, I believe, November 18th is the goal.
Okay.
Can it be put but into
it could be
but it has
project
to be
extend
right that's right. That's why
an
it's
eligible
not in here.
Project cost yes.
Right.
So the 288, as long as property continues to increase,
as long as
we'll get a minimum of 288,000 for the next 27 years.
Yeah, I mean what it is there's a base value when the TID was created. Mm-hmm. That was set. So as long as the current value exceeds that base value, it'll generate an increment. Whereas last year, the assessed value was below the base value because of the reassessment. They'll never take money away from you. You just get no increment from those years.
But so right now, as long as things don't get worse, we know we're going to make at least $288,000 mm-hmm. a year.
There's some money to lend.
Mm-hmm. Or use. I mean,
or give away.
That's the thing.
Well, yeah, and there's, you know,
yeah, like
if there's everyone's expenses. Read the project plan, there's a big long list of expenses
right.
and streets and lighting. And
there's a lot of expenses
yeah.
associated with
it. In fact, we projected that there would be more expenses than increment revenue. that we'd use the general fund to cover up the closure according to the project plan.
I think that's kind of a lot of money for as little appreciation as we've had in the village in the last year.
It is.
And if what we're hoping for in terms of
mainly one problem
stuff.
So if we have to get any of these,
there's a good reason to do it. Yes.
Do anything we want, we'll be open for business. Good stuff.
I guess there's just those other little bits under in the general fund expenditures, unclassified, contingency. We always have a $15,000 sort of contingency for those things that come up that you don't expect. Last year we also had a $10,000 in there for wage and health contingency that we didn't. I guess we're saying that we'll probably use that budgeted money and other line items as needed. So
what's going on right now?
That is the general fund.
Claire, I'm sorry. Going back to the TIF, the facade grants and loans program, the projected 2014 is
$15,000. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that we
that was the only two that I had heard of.
The only two that came through.
Is just putting money there in hopes that someone else will do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just thinking.
And Trevor, or someone's going to be on it more aggressively.
Or somebody, yeah.
You mean promoting it?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And then it coming up on the board agenda, you'll be talking about changing some of the dates to make it more available.
More in line with our permit seasons.
Yep. Oh, that would make sense, yeah.
For what season?
Permits.
Oh, season. Oh.
I believe Trevor looked at, with independent inspections, the trends in our permits and when they're issued, so he's matching the application that aligns with those peaks.
That's smart.
Yeah. They're actively working on the one on Webster right now, the gas station there on Webster. And
are they?
Yep.
They started. They've got a dumpster there today.
A little bit counts.
Well, it's kind of exciting to see something happen. You know, we've been talking about it for how many years now and working on it. Well, even seeing that $288,000 is exciting.
It is. Mm-hmm.
You know? Very. It's just a number on a piece of paper, but it's exciting.
Maybe I'll quick finish up the other tax levy funds because they don't take too much here on the next page. Public bus service. That is the Green Bay Metro, because it was called Green Bay Metropolitan Sewer District, Green Bay Metro, and I'm not sure which is called it. But that's the bus, so that went down a little bit, and we had met with Patty, and that's just basically our piece of the pie shrunk. So it's based on fixed route bus transportation, so how many miles in the routes that come in here. So we went down.
Is that because our portion of the entire routing is down, or their ridership is down?
Our portion of the route is...
Our portion of the linear miles.
Yeah.
Lower.
So, I mean, they split it up. We went down, Ashwaubenon went up, Bellevue went up, DePere went down, Green Bay went up a little bit. So they have the total amount, and then based on those miles.
No, that makes sense.
To who it goes to. So that was a nice surprise. So we get to save a little there. Let's see. Compensated absences, that came up as a question. That one is the fund where we accumulate what we have to pay out if someone retires their sick leave.
I asked a lot of questions.
Yeah, no. That's okay. So that one had been kind of at a deficit for a couple years, 2012 and 13, because more people left than we anticipated. Then we left it at that $80,000 last year just because we had, I guess you'd say, kind of an unexpected surplus, and it just seemed safe to bring that back up into the positive for that year and just in case anything else happened. So we run a spreadsheet of the employees that are here when we project them to retire So it's become easier to project because we put a cap on that as of January 1, 2014. So you can no longer accumulate towards that payout. It's just the people that have been here and have it there. It's going to stay there. When they leave, they'll get paid out. So we'll end with a surplus in that fund and then projecting who may retire next year, $20,000 would more than cover it. So, and I don't anticipate that we'll have to go back to up to that $80,000 level. I did 20 because I think we can stay level at 20. And debt service. That is, oh, can I print these? I don't know how many people wanted the full schedule. It's all one. That's one.
Yeah. Careful what you ask for. Oh my God.
I don't know if anyone else wants one. This is just split out each issue by fund. The first one in red, you'll see the categories. So that's the village street portion. That's the portion that we levy for. So you should see that on that second page there, total P&I principal and interest for 2014 was $1,234,000. And we're levying $1,235,000 because there's also small fees for Associated Bank as our paying escrow agent. So that's where that number comes from. It's the principal and interest on that portion of the debt. And then the other pages are the portion for sanitary sewer, water utility, and storm.
So what is our total debt service at this point in time?
For tax levy or all the funds?
All the funds.
The total amount outstanding?
Mm-hmm. So would that be the 26?
Should be 26.
Yeah, that's on that summary page.
Yeah, 26,273.
$26 million. $21 million in interest.
$23 million. Okay. Oh, 26.
Okay, yeah,
because it includes
26.
The revenue bond.
Okay. And what's the 14? Oh, and the 14 is interest, so we're...
Which 14 are you looking at?
Above the 26. The
very,
one
very last page.
Oh.
Yeah, very last page.
Well, okay, I just... Because this is the one that I work off of. Sometimes I just add numbers and columns here. So that 14 is the balance in storm, water. Oh, that's
12.
Okay, so that's only the balance in the three enterprise funds. Is that 14 million?
I'm sorry?
The $14 million is the ending balance at 12/31/14 and the three enterprise funds.
Oh, okay.
You know, I have that pie chart of our property tax levy, what goes to which fund. So, what was that? Oh, I didn't print myself that chart. Yeah, so debt service is 20% of our budget, of our tax levy.
Is that normal?
You know, I did that comparison using the Municipal Facts 2014 book, mm-hmm. and they lay it out with municipalities with a similar population, and that's at this first part, and that would be from a population of 12,500 to 17,500. So, you know, we're... You know, what's the average? The average is, this only goes up to 2012, that book does, but, you know, per person, it's 1,700 is the average, and we're at 2,100. You know, we're certainly not the highest, we're not the lowest, but we're above average.
Well, you have some curve records like Hudson and...
Yeah. There are some
Milwaukee are really low.
Mm-hmm. There's some really low ones, and then Tacoma and White Glendale are through the roof, you know.
Yeah.
Tacoma has infrastructure issues like we have here. Same situation.
Tacoma is actually quite close to the debt limit.
And stormwater.
We're at 67% of our debt limit. The average, 45%. And then at the bottom, I just included local municipalities that are often, where I'm often asked to compare ourselves to. So even though they fall outside of our population range for comparison, they're there just...
Look at Howard.
Yeah, that's just interesting to see places close by.
So this is part of the balancing act, right? 67% of the debt limit already.
And, you know, when you say 67%, it sounds like a lot, but if I run it for at the end of 2014, I have that we have 23 million of our 44 million using 20.7 million left, so that's a little above 50%, so I mean, it all depends on the year.
Right.
And I'm kind of wondering why, like, 11 to 12, we went from 54% to 67%, because this, at the end of 2014, we would be 37%. Oh, you don't have your number, Laka.
I didn't
want to have that. You don't use your keypad, do you?
That costs more.
Can municipalities pay off any parts of their bonds early? Let's say the village played Powerball. Okay, and we had a $10 million windfall.
Now, there are early call provisions in the bonds. Okay. So we have to look at that.
We just fix more streets.
But if I run that percent of debt limit for where we're going to be at the end of the year, and we know where we're going to be at, we'll be at 53% of our debt limit. And I think that's because it runs off of equalized value, our debt limit. It's 5% of equalized value.
So we'll be adding another 3 to 5 in the next year or two.
Well, this includes the $4 million one that we did this year in 2014. If we did the safe drinking water, if that's a revenue bond, it's not included in this, because that's pledged by user revenues and not...
Not the levy.
Yeah.
So we don't have to borrow for that, or we do? We just
it is,
call it a different
it's
thing.
It's borrowing... But it would be in the water utility, paid for by the water utility.
So water utility rates are...
Yeah.
Tax of a different type, right?
So it's not a really easy question where we're at. We're not the highest, we're not the lowest.
And we have infrastructure and roads that need to be fixed. We can't just say, we can't just ignore that. It's a matter of how fast, right, how fast you get, how aggressive are you. I mean, Jim said it tongue-in-cheek, but that's probably what we would do, right? If we had a $10 million Harbaugh winning, we just wouldn't borrow for future projects the way that we would have instead of retiring existing debt. We've saved a lot of money by...
Yeah, there were some refinancing before I got here that saved a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I guess the last fund in here would be capital projects. Fund 38. Big things in that fund this year is we will have the trails. So we'll be getting the state aid in for that and finishing up those trails. That was that, and then we're carrying over 12,000 in park improvement. That's last year we budgeted 29,000 for
fencing, tennis court.
Yeah. And then 12,000 we didn't get around to, right. So that's the carryover.
And then that's East River Trail.
What's that?
Is any of this East River Trail? Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The Easter Trail was the 800 and something.
Well, tennis courts is the 12,000 we're carrying over. Trail improvements of 284,000 is. I wrote it down so it got really confusing with all the different trails.
That's the Fox River.
Part of it is 211,000 of that is the.
For next year.
Fox River Trail connection.
Connection.
Along here.
The Heritage Hill?
Oh, along the off-ramp?
Yeah, that's the one we postponed.
Okay. Where did you say the 800? You said something was 800?
The East River turned out to be 800 and something. So there was a... fund balance was applied.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't cover the difference. Yeah, sure. I remember. Okay. Thank you.
So the big difference in this one compared to last year's. Last year we levied $229,000 to do some park projects and some street projects. This year we're only levying $117,000, so we took a lot of projects off. So our budget turned out good, but we are doing less projects.
What kind of projects would fall into that?
Last year it was the parks for $29,000, more for the trail, and then I think Craig, you had like $100-some for streets in there of levy. Because in that street construction, some of that was financed by the bond, and then some of it I thought was levy. I don't have last year's folder in here, but I could run and get it.
So the state aid for parks, do I read that correctly, mm-hmm. that's income we get from park, from the state?
That's the grants.
The grants.
It's not like a any other funds. That's grants that Brad wrote for.
Okay. You get $43 from the state. Seriously?
Really?
Actually, it's like 40,
more parts. 42 something, and we rounded up.
Now, were we going to put funds in here to complete the East River, the section in the park?
Because the grant cycle would be a May deadline. You wouldn't be able to do it next year anyway, so it'll be the following year. Because we'll want to write a grant for that.
That's from the bridge
around.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's all done.
So those are the funds supported by general property tax levy.
You know what? I need to stretch.
Okay.
5 minute break. Is that? Is there a motion to recess for 5 minutes? Trustee Gendrich, is there a second? Trustee Harris, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5 minute break.